Hey, everybody. For Rand Wozniak, you know it. It's the IASIS podcast. I'm here with the IASIS training manager, Mark Baker. Mark, how you doing this evening?
How you doing, Woz?
I'm doing well. Come on, you and I have a little bit of history. We'll get into that later at the end of the show. But let's talk real quick a little bit about Mark Baker, and then we're going to talk about Mark Baker with IASIS. Obviously, you're in law enforcement, as yep. most of us are. Give us a little the background for you.
So I've been a police officer since 2001. I started my career in Philadelphia. In 2004, I moved to York County, Pennsylvania. I took a job with a regional police department, and I've been working there ever since. I became a criminal investigator with the Northern York County Regional Police Department in probably about 2007, 2006 in that area. And that's I've been there ever since. Counting down the days to retirement.
I may or may not have the clock going. We'll go from there. You started out as a patrol officer, like we say, like a road deputy type thing or a road officer, and then worked your way in?
Yeah, so that's kind of an interesting thing. I did start, everybody's a street officer. We have four detectives in our department. And I ended up being kind of the computer guy. I've always been into computers, and that's kind of how everybody's story starts, I think. I was the one that set up the Wi-Fi passwords, and when they had a printer issue, that was, you know, call Baker in, so I'd come in off the street and fix their printer issues, and that's kind of how it all began.
So you have it, and that's Northern York Regional Police Department. Is that I'm in South Carolina, so we have sheriff's offices and we have like municipalities. Is that like a like New Jersey does it, where it's a regional type thing, or what is that?
Pennsylvania is really kind of, in a lot of ways, it's really weird. I mean, in a normal state, I think the sheriffs cover pretty much the entire you know county, but in Pennsylvania, it's not unheard of to have a police department with one officer. And he'll work 8 hours a day, and then after he gets off work, the state police will cover that jurisdiction until the officer comes back on. So, and then you end up having municipalities who have more money, and then they fund their own police departments. And our police department is one of the first ones that ever tried the regional concept. Okay. And so basically what it was I believe we started with six municipalities in 1972. They pooled their resources and they bought into it. So we now have 65 officers. We cover 11 municipalities. I think we have about 153 square miles is what we cover. And it's pretty expansive. We cover most of the county, most of the northern part of the county.
That's a good deal. I know a lot of small towns here in South Carolina, they'll have agreements where they need assistance, but all little towns have their own system as opposed to joining in. You had a big case though, didn't you? Like in 2007, the CSAM ICAT case, if I'm not mistaken.
It wasn't 2007. I think it was about 2012 was the big case. Yeah, so it was close. My first case was in 2007. That's where I actually got into computer forensics.
Okay.
So that was that. You want to hear about that story?
Oh no, please. No. All of it. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, everybody wants to. Yes.
I have no problem poking fun at myself for this. It's kind of it's a computer guy, and they get their first CSAM case in. And obviously my chief calls me back and says, hey, you're the computer guy. We have this case. We have a tower. Can you do me a favor and see what you can find? You know, so being the computer guy, I find a monitor and a keyboard and a thumb drive. And I plug that computer in, start copying off the evidence. And the DA, you know, loses his mind. So that was kind of how my career in computer forensics started. Cause at that point, I realized that you needed training for this. Yep. And I started calling around, and I ended up landing with IASIS because they were the only ones at the time that provided a certification. I think we still are. We're the only one with accredited certification. So
I do believe that, and that's a great segue you provided. So tell us a little bit. You're the training manager today. So tell us from from your beginnings to today? Because this is an IASIS podcast, so obviously yeah. we have to talk about it a little bit.
Pitch IASIS a little bit. Yeah, so I started, in 2008 is when I went through the BCFE class, and I believe it was in Maitland, Florida at the time. And that was, it was a relatively small class at the time. I took it in 2008. I got certified in 2009. And in 2010, I was approached by the training manager at the time, and he was looking to start a new program with IASIS called our Suspect Image.
Okay.
What we wanted to do was have an image built that everybody performed their practicals on to be more realistic. So I became the chair of that group, and I started with the training committee in 2010. So that was kind of my foot in the door. And then from there, I became a chair of what our applied computer forensics class at the time, which is a tool specific class. And then I became the specialized training manager. And then after that, I became the training manager. So it was kind of a progression up through the, I guess, the ranks is what you'd say.
So I know you're considered, you're not voted in. You're pretty much the middle management of,
yes,
of IASIS. You're the sergeant. You are the staff sergeant. You, I can't swear too much, but stuff rolls downhill, but it's also pushed uphill. So you're right there, yeah, in that sweet spot.
Yeah.
And I know, obviously, I taught mobile for a couple of years, and you were always in the classroom, and not in a bad way, but also when I moved to marketing, I'm in the hallways for marketing, and you're also in the hallways. Yep. So it's crazy. If you have an Apple Watch, and I think you do have an Apple because you text Blue, how many steps you get into a day, because it's you're nonstop. You're nonstop at IASIS.
Going in
all the classrooms.
There was one day last year during the 23 event that I walked 8 miles inside the yeah, hotel. So yeah, that's between yeah, classes. Yeah, we just kind of we walk around and basically make sure all the classes are running, get things stuff that people need. So yeah, there's a lot of steps being put on during those 2 weeks.
And you're a big guy, and I'm 6'4", 6'5" with shoes on. You rival me, if not taller than me. You may have a little bit more shoulder strength than I do. So you're a presence in the hallways and the classrooms. And besides, we'll get into BCFE in a little bit, but there's the event. We always say this. I said it last year, and I said it the year before. This is the biggest event IASIS is going to have, correct?
This year, yes, it is. Yep.
Yeah. And we have the more students, and also as far as volunteers, got to say volunteers, the staff on hand.
Yes, we had, so last year, I believe we had 666 students. And
well, that's
this
a bad
year,
number. Yeah,
I know, I couldn't believe it. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, 667. This year, as of this morning, we have 771. So this will be our biggest event that we've ever had. We have 154 staff members coming to the event. So we're right at about, I think we're at 918 people that'll be in Orlando for the IASIS event this year.
Yeah, we are actually, it's actually outgrowing, and nothing against the venue, but we're actually outgrowing the venue itself. And I know, plus with the vendors, I know we have the partnership with all the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you add, I mean, they come and go, 4 days at a time. So that's a pretty good size conference. And then,
oh, it's crazy big.
And then you mix in little girl cheerleaders with MMA fighters, and you have nothing but 900 police officers in the middle. That's the story tells itself sometimes. So.
It does.
but that's, yeah, we'll get into that later. But Mark, as training manager, outside of BCFE, which is our big class, right? That's the, we call right, it the big room. You know, that's the main focus. But we also have specialized classes and vendor classes. Can you go into a little bit with the specialized classes? Like I said, I taught mobile device, and there's others as well.
Yes, we have. So we're offering, I believe it's about 8 or 9 specialized classes this year. We have the mobile class, which you taught in for a couple years. And then we also have an advanced mobile class this year, which is really exciting. It's the first time we've offered that. We have a scripting forensic class. That's a 1 week class where they deal with just, you know, scripting to extract evidence. We have our computer forensics real world class, which is our tool specific class. That's the class I first started teaching when I started teaching with IASIS. It's morphed into computer forensics real world. And that is our only tool specific class. So they basically compare tools in that class, and it's really interesting. We have a network forensics class, which is a 2 week class. And we also have an advanced, it's an enterprise network forensic class. So that's a 1 week class. That's a brand new class this year. And they're looking at network forensics from a server perspective. So it's taken, instead of going from the ground, you're actually going from the server, from the cloud. So it's very interesting that they're putting that on this year. We have our open source investigations class. We have a manager's class, which is very popular. That's a very small 2 day class. And I can't stress enough that if you're in a lab where your manager doesn't really understand all about IASIS, just get them down there for 2 years or for 2 days, and they'll be completely sold. It's pretty amazing. And we have preparing for lab accreditation. So if your lab's going to be accredited, we have a class for that. We have a RAM capture class, which talks about processing RAM. You know, so as law enforcement officers, we are always taught, listen, you got to grab RAM at the scene, but that's kind of where the training always fell off. We never had a class to address what to do with that RAM. So we have a 1 week class talking about extracting RAM and what to do with it. And then we have our advanced Windows Forensics Examiner class. That's also a 1 week class. That picks up basically where BCFE leaves off.
Yeah, leaves off. That's the next level. You mentioned, I'm glad you brought this up, because you and I want to call this old school, but I started this in 2000. I was in law enforcement in 2000. I started, digital forensics 2005. Dead box forensics. Okay, fine. But network forensics is pretty much where this industry is headed. The cloud, pretty much. You look at your schools. They have the Chromebooks. 32 gigabytes of space. Now everything's shared to the cloud. The cloud is going to be everything. So that's a great class. That's a way. That's the just evolution of our business. At least with computers. Cell phones are still obviously. Well, no, even with cell phones, because you have the cloud and Google and stuff like that. So that's even going there with cloud forensics. So that is a natural evolution to our game, as opposed to the classic, let me just take out the hard drive. We're going to use, FTK Imager or whatever, NK 6.18 to image this thing. There is an evolution to the game. And I spoke about this on a prior podcast, which is probably going to air later than this episode. But I talked to, Xtero about that, and how cloud forensics is a game. You got to talk to your prosecutors to make sure you're within the Fourth Amendment to make sure you do any kind of cloud forensics.
Yep.
But that's, like I said, we adjust, overcome, and adapt. I guess.
Yep. It's still forensics. We're just doing it in a different spot.
That's all it is. It absolutely correct. We talked about IASIS, the event for students. If you're a student, and hopefully if you're a student, you're just coming on, you're going to be listening to this on your way to Orlando. And I know you maybe give a speech your first day. Can you give us a preview of your speech? You are a student. This is your first time in Orlando. What can they expect?
Well, basically, thank God I do not have to do a speech first day. So
Gene does it.
Gene's going to be doing our speech.
You hang out in the background as like a bodyguard. That's right.
Yes. I'm his shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as students, it's kind of, in a lot of ways, it's a little bit, I wouldn't say overwhelming, because overwhelming means that it's something where you're going to be fearful of it. But it is an amazing experience. I have never... You have to go there in order to experience it. And especially when you get into the big room, like you call it the BCFE room, where we have, there's going to be 324 students in there plus 75 instructors in one room. And it is crazy the amount of people that are just down there. And it's especially with the basic class, they talk about drinking, you know, from a fire hose. That's exactly what it is. I've heard that on your podcast before. You know, every time you interview somebody from IASIS, that's what they say. But there really is no other way to put it, because you're just pounded with information for 2 weeks. And at the end of the 2 weeks, you're trying to digest this, and you automatically move into the peer review process. So it becomes very daunting. But looking back on it, the experience is just, it's probably one of the best things I've ever done in my career. I've gotten SANS certifications, if we're allowed to say the S word on the podcast.
We can. Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Whatever.
Okay, good.
Yes. Yeah, I'm wearing a gray shift hat, so everything's good.
Yeah, I've taken numerous training classes, and I've done a lot of things in my line of work, but I always go back to 2009 when I was certified. That was the best experience I've ever had. It's the one I'm most proud of. And I encourage everybody who comes down there to take that certification, take it seriously, and get through it, because you'll look back on it and say, this was it. This is the pinnacle of my digital forensic career, you know, however long that may be.
Yeah.
But, and it's not to, you know, diminish our advanced classes, because we, you know, one of the things that I talk about on the last day in week two is our continuing education. Because one of the problems, and I've seen this in my county, we've had digital forensic examiners that come in the past, and they would take one course and then they'd ride that course for 15 years.
Yeah.
And at some point we're dealing with Windows 7 and he's still talking about Windows XP, and you're like, okay, you know, one of the unique things with our field, and I told my chief this, is you can send a guy to photography school for a crime scene, and chances are he can use that for the rest of his career. But computers change constantly, especially with phones. They're constantly being updated. Windows is rolling out new things, and our developers are constantly developing the material to keep up with it. So, I mean, that's why I always, you can get the BCFE and get your certification, but then continue on with our specialized classes. You're going to continue to learn, and you're going to continue to advance in your career field.
And it's funny you brought that up. My boss and I, brought that same thing up. You could learn how to take a photograph, but think about the technology and photography always changing for us. And that's why there's such a need for continuous education. I've been 20 years now. I've been in digital forensics, and every year I think it's almost mandated for me to get 40 hours a year training. Which is great. I mean, there's training out there. It doesn't have to be expensive. I'll plug NW3C right now. They have free training.
Absolutely.
So there is training, and of course I'll bring up a little bit of if you're of a Secret Service element to you, you know, NCFI. You know, it costs you nothing to do.
That's a huge resource.
Yeah, huge resource with not only training but also software and hardware. Yep. So, but that's a good thing with IASIS, and it's also the instructors with IASIS. They're all, I would say, experts in their own field. You're not going to get some Joe Schmo teach. I mean, everybody, the OSINT person is going to be in charge, and you know they're going to be pretty qualified to do that. Your mobile device forensics, minus me, maybe everybody's going to be a expert in their field. Same thing with your FAT32s, you know, your NTFSs. Everything is, you're talking about experts in their field, and they all volunteer their time, but their day jobs are nothing but what they do. So that's a great element. So
that's exactly right. Yeah, the volunteerism, and I'll tell you what, it's amazing how our organization attracts those highly qualified people that just want to give back. And these are people that are on podcasts constantly. They're writing blogs. I see them constantly on the listserv, and they just pique my interest. They're the experts in this field, and they're just giving back to the community. And like you said, they're all volunteers, 100% volunteer organization. And you know, it's hard to grasp that until you're there and you see all these people walking around in gray shirts, you know, and those people are all donating their time, and a lot of them are taking vacation for 2 weeks just to come down there and give back to the organization, give back to the community, and you know, provide training for the future of digital forensics.
Absolutely. And I'll name drop him. Doesn't matter, because he hasn't been on this podcast. Randy Stone. The BTK killer, right? What, right? Yep. Am I saying that right? He literally solved that murder. He was given on the Netflix special like that much. I think it was like bald guy number one played him. I like no, come on. You know, So Randy. I should call him. I wish I could call him right now, but I'm using my cell phone to tape some of this. But that's the people that we attract. The guy who caught the BTK killer is teaching at IASIS, and there's countless others of that. Not only in America, we're international too. You know, so you have,
that's correct.
You have Australia, New Zealand. You know, of course the UK. We have a listener in Fiji that I'm hoping to get on the podcast. He listens to the podcast.
That's awesome.
And yeah, he's going to be on soon. So we have, I think, everybody outside of probably Russia. We have members in. So
yeah, I think we're bringing somebody in from South Africa this year too.
Yeah, it's great. It's a global network, which makes it so great.
It's funny you say that, and I always come back to this story. Is I had a case with I don't remember how long ago it was, but we had a known series of CSAM images, and I had my prosecutor said it was one that the child victim spanned multiple years, and she happened to be victimized in Germany, and the prosecutor was sitting there during trial prep, and she said, listen, I would love to know what her age was when this was done. And I picked up the phone, called a guy in Belgium who got me in touch with the investigator in Germany. And he said, yeah, she was 8 to 16. And that is all from the network of people that you end up meeting, you know, through, you know, realistically, our community is very small. It's a very small
absolutely.
Community of forensic examiners. And once you know people, you can, that's invaluable. The contacts you make are just, it's crazy.
It's funny you mentioned that, because in 2005, I could talk about it. I'm not going to mention specifics, but this has already been adjudicated and run through the course. We had a case from Germany, and our, I guess it was Immigration, Customs Enforcement, ICE at the time. Case came out of Germany. It was a LimeWire case. Yeah, 2005, that would have been LimeWire. Yeah, because Napster was already shut down. So it was a LimeWire case. So we, ICE got it from a German referral to our ICE. ICE gave it to us, but ICE also wanted to be in on the search warrant. So we did a hard entry on it. And when we got into the house, the guy was, he didn't have any clothes on, and he was in the process of downloading, CSAM. And of course, being police officers, we, you know, did police officer things. And he goes, "Oh no, not me! This is my dad." And I was like, "Bro, you're sort of naked. You're sort of downloading this stuff. You're the only one in the room. You have the worst luck ever if this is your dad." I remember that. Yeah, everything was played out. Everything took care of itself. But yeah. I was like, man, that has to be the worst day ever for a man. Yeah. I mean, it was just going, and we're like, and this is like, I don't even think in 2005 we had iPhones, but we're just like taking pictures of the screen as it was downloading. Yeah. 2005, we did not have iPhones. So everything was done, just with cameras. And, I don't even think we did RAM capture back then. It didn't matter. I mean,
that's wild.
Talk about red-handed. But that's, you know, anybody who works ICAC always has these stories. You know, there's tons of stories with it. We talked about students. You're the training manager. Let's talk about the staff. The staff get in there. I know we have the meeting that Sunday morning. Great breakfast slash brunch, really. What new staff members? I mean, old staff know. Yep. New staff members? What can they expect for the 2 weeks?
So it's going to wear you down. So we start basically on Saturday packing bags. So yep. you figure everybody who attends the event is getting a backpack with swag in it, and so there's 920 bags that need to be packed. And that all happens on Saturday. So they spend however many hours it is packing bags. And then Sunday is the first day that we're actually hands-on stuff. So Sunday we have our lunch where we have our staff meeting, go over the 2 weeks, talk about expectations. Everybody introduces themselves. I think this year we have 20 or 21 new staff members. So it'll be the first time in Orlando. And then from there, once they break from the lunch, they go out and start setting up the rooms, whatever the week one classes are. Set up the BCFE room, set up all the specialized rooms for the week one. And then we have registration that evening. And then it starts bright and early Monday morning. So we... Go on.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I'll add my little thing in a bit.
So they normally the classes, the instructors are in their class by 7:30 in the morning every morning. Normally on day one, the BCFE staff is there a little bit earlier so that they can get instructions. The first day, they have 75 people in there, so it's a lot of moving parts. So at 8 o'clock, the students are led into the rooms, and we run all day until 5. At 5 o'clock, the class is let out. The instructors will get usually an hour and a half, and at 6:30, labs start. So and then labs run until 9 o'clock, and that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of week one. Then there's vendor nights. I think we have a vendor night on Monday where it's kind of a meet and greet. So all the staff's expected to be there. And usually by the time labs are over, you're trying to find your way back to your bedroom so you can get some sleep.
And then
it all starts again the next morning. So it is very grueling. It's not a vacation. I mean, it's Orlando, Florida, but no, it's not a vacation.
No, it's not. And also, I got to bring up, though, you do have... At the end of the day, there are heavy snacks. So you get cheeseburgers, nachos, something like that, right?
Yeah.
In the back of the room. In the back of the big room before your meeting. No, it is not. It is minimum a 12-hour day. And that's if you don't really have a job. It's literally 13 to 15 hours a day. Now, there is some fun. I mean, you're going to eat well. I mean, it's but you're working the whole time. You're on your feet. You're going to get your steps. You're going to get your stand hours and stuff like that. There's no delaying that. What job you have at IACE is when you volunteer. Nothing is really a sit down job.
It's constantly moving.
You're pushing it, but it's great though because everybody seems to enjoy it because it's the same faces over and over again. So
yeah.
Yeah, that is an aspect of it. But also, too, though, is IASIS, you work for it, but also they kind of take care of you. You kind of get some, you get some software trials. I mean, we're not, you know, obviously getting, you know, ultimately free stuff, but also the IASIS gives you free certifications. You could take the mobile certification, the Windows certification. And they also offer anything that's online, IASIS volunteers can have.
Yeah, so our volunteer recognition committee, they allow, if you volunteer for IASIS, no matter what you do, even if it's a peer review coach or in certification, you can take the online courses. I think it's one per year. Yep. They may have bumped that up to two, but it's normally one per year, which is usually probably enough anyway. And it's a good way just to, you know, keep your skills honed because... Obviously, if you're down there training or you can't come to Orlando, but you're doing the coaching, it gives you the ability to maintain your training and take something different. It's a way to get back.
And the thing, too, is say you're going down there on IASIS pays for everybody to be there, but your company or your agency is like, why are you going down there? Well, it kind of sweetens the deal a little bit when you're offered the free training and be like, well, it's not costing you anything. But also I have this free training offered to me. And I know at least with police departments, sheriff's offices, state agencies, that's huge. If it doesn't, if it gives you training, free. We love for everybody loves free. So always a good thing. Mark, before we just settle things down here, anything else on the Orlando event, IASIS 2024 event from your perspective?
Everybody's excited. Everybody's engaged. I'm really looking forward to the event this year. We have a lot of people coming. Obviously, we're almost to 1,000 people attending. We're going to fill that hotel. I just encourage people, if you haven't signed up this year, sign up early next year, get down there, because it'll be an experience that you just cannot, like I said, it's the pinnacle of my career. I would not, if I could trade anything, I would never give away that certification.
Yeah, I agree. That's absolutely, absolutely understandable. Before we wrap up anything, I just got to let our viewers know, you were at NCFI. Hoover, Alabama, the National Computer Forensics Institute, is a Secret Service one. Mark Baker was my instructor in 2019 for advanced mobile, I think AFT, Advanced Mobile Techniques, I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
And I'll show this to you, but you already know what the picture is. So, so for our viewers at home, let me just go ahead and just show this picture. So for our viewers at home that are listening and not watching it on YouTube, there's a fellow student on looking. There's myself, who I accept all of the accolades, but none of the blame. Mark Baker actually has his head in his hand, because I did. And we were working with, like, solely in hexadecimal. Not X-Ways, but what's X-Ways Hex Reader?
The WinHex.
So we were working on a very low non-RAM soaking up software. No, I managed to break the computer. And you'll see it, Mark, real quick. Our proctor did nothing. The proctor just sat there, and that's if there's ever a stone pillar of this man, that's all he did. But that was in 2000.
I remember thinking to myself, what the hell did you guys do to this computer?
And that's exactly.
I can't believe somebody took a picture of it.
Yeah, well, Pat from New York State Police. I'm not going to give his last name out, but because I think he works undercover now. But it looks exactly like what it does when my Chihuahua poops in the house, because there's yeah, my the onlooker, which is my beagle, me, and it just, yeah. So that was
good times.
And still to this day, I still have no idea. But I remember, though, you brought your dog the last day.
Yes.
Hannah, right?
Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What a sweet girl. And you bring her to IASIS too, part of the Dogs of IASIS, which is like sort of an informal thing now.
Yeah, we have three dogs down there nearly every year. We have two electronics detection dogs, and then Hannah's a certified therapy dog.
Certified therapy dog. Sweet girl. All of them. I think it's ASCII, Siri. And then Hannah and any other dogs are welcome, and they get all the patches and stuff like that, because, you know, the vendors love the dogs, but that is some good stuff. Speaking of that, you were when you taught me at NCFI, I know you do hunting and fishing. You're sort of an outdoorsman. I think most people in Pennsylvania, if you're not in downtown Philadelphia, you pretty much are.
If you're not an outdoorsman, you're a communist.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works. You have to be,
I knew you were doing
people.
Some fishing in Alabama, right? When you yep. instructor there? Yeah. So, and plus he has a beautiful dog, and you bring your dog to work. That's always a great thing.
I love hunting and fishing. Anything to get me outdoors is just fantastic for me.
Oh, same. Just 4 hours of silence. Just 4 hours of silence. I went one time, I saw nothing. A family of bobcats just rolled by me, and I was just like watching them, and it was just normally
that is worth the sit.
Normally dangerous situation for, like, if you have pets or animals, but I was like, you know what? I'm just happy to be here. Just 4 hours of nothing, you know.
Yep.
Oh, it's good. Mark Baker, do you have any closing remarks before we close this thing up?
Well, you know, I appreciate you having me on. I look forward to meeting everybody. If this airs before the event, come find me. I'll be walking around trying to put my steps on. Yep. And just, you know, I'd love to meet you and hook up. That'd be great.
Awesome. And you know, I got you had that Maxpedition backpack 2 years ago. I ended up getting the same thing. It's a great backpack. Yeah. Look for Mark Baker. He is going to be roaming the hallways and he's going to be in your classrooms. I think there's two of them, minimum three. At all times. So, Mark Baker, training manager, IASIS, Orlando 2024. Mark, pleasure having you on. Thank you for being on and we'll see you soon.
Yep. Take care. Roll Tide.
Yeah, there you go. I knew you'd get that in. All right. Thanks, everybody.